Yeah.
Thanks, Roger.
Are you ready to come to the meeting? It's gonna be recorded.
Press the button.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Environment and Community Services Committee meeting today on the 10th of February. We've got quite a full agenda, and welcome to the member of the public, Mr Clark, who's here as well. Town Clerk, we've got 26.11 to receive apologies for absence and a vote of acceptance to be taken. Item one.
We had apologies from Councillor Webster.
Thank you very much. Is that acceptance agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. 26.12.
12.02.
Yeah, I've got it 02.
Yeah.
01, 02.
Yeah. Oh, I've got an old agenda.
Okay,
okay.
You want me to?
Yeah.
Can I go and make a copy?
Yeah, I can do that.
Or did one that's
you can just have this one, it's fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much. 26.02, to record declaration of interest. Members are advised to declare any relevant interest, notwithstanding this item. Members may subsequently declare an interest at any point during the meeting. Are there any declarations to be made?
No.
Can I declare a declaration under 26.09? I hold an appointment at Essex University, so I'd like that to be noted under that a declaration. Is that accepted?
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's fine.
26.03, public session, 15 minutes, 3 minutes per speaker. We've got one member of the public here. Can I invite the member of the public, Mr Clark, to
thank you.
Say something.
We refer you to the mapping undertaken with the surveyor of CCC estates and legal work undertaken with the solicitor of ECC as registrars, as attached to my email of the 8th of September 2025. I had asked to attend meetings with this, but that offer had not been taken up, so I've come to this meeting to outline this, which is a legal issue relating to that Village Green 241 South. I have handed the mapping work over by agreement to David Cooper. This is not a mapping issue as such, it's a legal issue that arises from the review I undertook. In addition to the mapping work, the following legal issue should be addressed with both the City Council, who own the land, and the local fishermen prior to any signage being erected, i.e. item B or C in the email I earlier sent on the 8th of September. The so-called 10-year rule is not applicable to the following, as it relates to planning regulations, not other legislation, and even so does not apply within a conservation area. I would use this in the context of the lease between the City Council and the local fishermen, which has a cold store, loading area, parking area and storage area. The lease shows that the area first leased to the fishermen was not on the village green, but was later moved onto it to allow the construction of the public toilet and waste compound. The issue arising from that is that the area, as the area was then leased, that was leased to them, was moved onto the village green in 1989. That was after the village green was registered in 1970. So under the Commons Act, the coal store is an obstruction, i.e. is unlawful. Not all of the area leased to the fishermen is on the village green, as the area below the mean high water mark was removed from the village green by a later decision of the Commons Commissioner that I provided. In addition to the cold store, the use of the site for loading and unloading trucks and parking and storage of equipment also obstructs its use as a village green for recreation. This is different to another area of the village green leased to WMYC for use as a dinghy park. That is not unlawful, as that occurred, or that use occurred, before the village green was registered. I'm advising this to enable it to be reviewed, as I consider that to address the above, the area leased to the fishermen should be deregistered as a village green. I accept that this conflict is not evident at the moment to the fishermen or to the public, but I understand WMTC intend to erect signage which, unless that area is not shown or the area is deregistered, will become exposed. This is possible by application if the area, e.g. the coal store and area directly around it, is deregistered, is less than 200 square metres, which can be undertaken without offering to register compensating land. This is further supported, as else the public have rights of access to the coal store itself, and also use of the adjacent area, which is used for loading and unloading trucks, which may pose a danger to the public. Thank you. I will send copies of this together with the attachments, the lease, etc.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Sorry, can I just ask Mr. Clark, just so that I've got this in my head, the conclusion of what you're saying is that in order to continue to lease the land for loading and storage to the fishermen, we should be deregistering that part of the village green. Is that the...
Yes, at the time the area leased was moved onto the village green and the cold store constructed, it appears it was not appreciated by the city council that the area was in the within the village green.
Okay.
It does have planning permission, but it does require, I consider, and I've reviewed this with the surveyor from the City Council's estates, that it is deregistered. Their position at the moment is unclear. Else, you or I, or anyone, could, as a right, walk into the coal store and play ping pong in it, or use it for other forms of recreation,
okay,
legally. But in particular, the area around it that is used for unloading and loading trucks, which you can imagine for members of the public, children, etc., is a danger. The lease requires, the lease requires the area to be fenced. It has not been fenced, but as it is a village green, it could not be fenced.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Ian, can we be clear about what is specifically the action you require from West Mersey Town Council?
Specifically, I'm saying that this needs to be taken into consideration before any signage is erected, whether or not the City Council intend to deregister that, or you could exclude that from the mapping, or you could include it, but that would expose this. In addition, I consider the Town Council should have discussion with the City Council, but in particular with the fishermen, who do not know that the public have rights over that area.
Okay.
And that what they're doing is actually unlawful.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're clear on
but
that.
I will send a copy of this because I to support that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can we move on therefore to the next item, which is the confirmed minutes, which is 2604. To confirm the minutes of the last meeting on the 17th of October, which is 2604. These have been circulated. Are there any amendments?
Looks okay to me.
Would you like to move that?
I'll propose that we accept those minutes.
To do that. Thank you. very much. So the councillor Hindlewood proposing, councillor Baker seconding. Can I therefore move on to 2605, which is the new a local plan. For the record, there was a working party, section A, there was a working party formed that reported directly to council and not through this committee. The working group comes under this committee, but it was deemed necessary because of the urgency that we reported directly to council. That working party had met on several occasions and the report has been put to the council for agreement. The so that's a matter just for note. On the local plan is B, to consider further action that is necessary. I think it would be helpful today if we could have a discussion about the next steps. I've put on the table what has been the response by the City Council to the consultation that it took place on Regulation 18. I think as far as I'm concerned, the local reaction in Mersey has been very, very strong. We've had a lot of comments, and this has been reflected in what the council put forward, the City Council. Have you all had an opportunity to look at the? I thought it was helpful to put out a detailed note of what the City Council thought of what was happening. The bigger impact for us is that other parish councils, particularly around Stanway, have been meeting together. Yeah, there's been four or five getting together because they've been concerned about the volume of houses which have been put forward. And I think Mersey stands out because it is a large settlement. And the fact is that our issues we've got with the local plan are very different. But it's really important for us to see how we can move forward, given the comments we've put forward and the fact that we stand out because of our island situation. So I would certainly like to invite comments on where we stand at the moment. What I think we need to consider is how we play this for the rest of the year. And I've got a proposal in there which I put forward that we try and engage the City Council in further discussions about our objections. It's open to this committee to put forward what it feels is necessary. I've had a discussion with David Cooper, and we're basically he's in supportive of trying to enter into discussions with the City Council. And it's in their documents, it's much more reflective than it was last time, Nigel, much more reflective. Last time it was take it or leave it. This time the planners seem to be wanting to enter into discussion. So comments,
could
please.
I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah.
Sorry I wasn't able to send comments or anything before today, but the summary that you've given, where is that the summary, and there's a much more fuller response from Colchester?
What I've done is, I'll explain what I've done. There's a local plan committee meeting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in that there's about three documents which you put forward. And I could have given you the whole, just the committee
War
report, but frankly, it would have taken you an awful lot of time,
yeah.
And I don't think you would have gotten to the thing. So what I've done is taking those quotes you see are actually from the document which you put forward.
Which are published on Colchester's website, aren't they?
Which are published on
yeah.
the local website.
Yeah, so
local
you can find it on their
site.
Website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the very first line is confusing me. A total of 3,331
okay.
representations were received from 1,222 respondents. How do you have more representations than if you have 1,000
okay.
odd respondents? Do you know what I mean? That's
okay. The responding under their portal. You can respond multiple times
to different
under different sections. So the new places one is different from the environment, different from the overall look.
Okay.
So, for example, with us, we probably put in 25 representations
right,
under different pages.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So those numbers are for the whole of Colchester, though, are they?
They're for the whole of Colchester.
Yeah, okay.
They haven't broken down
into
what is, but it's just noteworthy.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
If
you go to the quote that I've given in the document, they've highlighted Mersey along with about four other places as having quite a lot of responses. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether the city councillors have got any more info about what Mersey's position is. But if you go to the new places one, which is another document which I haven't given you, there's umpteen pages of people from Mersey who have responded.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's over 100 under that one, just that one item that's responded. Yeah. So much detail here.
I know.
Yeah, but the importance for us is that we're going to move towards the end of the year to a situation where we're going to appear before the planning inspector. And what he will do is under each particular paragraph, he will call all the representations that have been made there. So under Mersey, the 300 houses, there's a whole list, including us, the Mersey Island Society, and residents who have put in objections or comments on that. Yeah.
Mm.
So that's where it will be dealt with. But what David and I had a problem with was that you could make comments under about four or five different headings, and they all essentially be to do with the Strood, or related to that.
The same thing with
to that. Yeah. Does that answer? Yeah. Does that answer your points?
I was gonna say that 1,000 respondents, 1,222 respondents over the whole of Colchester. It's actually quite disappointing, isn't it?
It is disappointing. It is disappointing. And
with a population of over 200,000.
They made the point. They had no local centres, apart from, they had the three in Colchester. Those were the only drop-in sessions that were there, but it... What the headlines forget, it's disappointing for Colchester, but in the circumstances, I think it's fairly good for Mersey in terms of what they put in their report for Mersey.
Yeah.
And the importance of, I think, for us is that the City Council planners look at it that Mersey again has been very, very good. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they take these comments on board and modify the local plan in, if they think it's necessary in relation to the comments.
It is part of the proper, yeah. The next step will be the final draft. Yeah. They will be able to present that as still being able to consider those final comments. But it is, the ink is almost dried on the document. Yeah. That's where we are for the next one. The question for us is really, as Mersey, will they make a change for us to reduce the number of houses? Last time, with the plan, we had 350, and because of the pressure of the numbers that were coming forward, the city councillors said that we can't agree for the 350, we go down to the 200.
One of these points is repeated calls for infrastructure first planning, so that we should, meaning we should get healthcare first before the houses. If they didn't change the number of houses, could they implement that at least? Is it like, could they pick out things that they go, well, we'll put that in? We might not change the houses, but we'll.
I believe that the city councillors are hopeful that the 350 houses, the 300 houses won't be put in until the centre is upgraded or we're in a position to accept it. But I'm unclear about the status of that, Maxine, and how that's been agreed and whether it's worth anything, because that will be open to interpretation, but the answer is yes, they could do that.
Yeah.
Although it could be challenged by the developers because it probably has no legal standing.
Yeah, exactly.
So really, there isn't that much you can do there.
No.
And the thing of like the Strood, you know, that's a big concern.
Yeah.
Could they say, well, okay, we'll solve that problem by doing A, B or C, but still build the houses? Like, could they?
Yeah.
They could look at a way of just steamroll it, couldn't they?
That's very unlikely, though. I think that we're going to get the Strood raised or anything.
No, I just don't know how it works. If they can address some of the issues.
It's
or
really, it's
say
a really good point. They could. It's like with the the Anglian Water, they could say, right, the infrastructure, we've got this promise about Anglian Water that the infrastructure is going to be improved. We've got to accept that. So they will just raise that through. They will say, well, they've agreed to put that in, so we're going ahead. Whether it actually turns out that way, there's no way that you can enforce that after the event.
After the event.
But with the Strood, you are talking about multi-million pounds, and it's not only the Strood, the whole support roads would have to be improved as well, Maxine. Yeah. But the interesting point for us was, as Nigel was alluded to, is that we don't know how a planning inspector will react to a situation where there is so much dependence on one road getting access to the island.
Can we invite them to a meeting at a time when the tide's really high and let them get stuck and then they might appreciate it?
Well, they do. They do.
The carry fire at the civic reception.
Yes,
she said, what time's high tide? I said, what? She said, he said to her partner, we'd better get a move on.
It's amazing how many people think that the tide is at the same time every day
and that
they can work around that. Don't understand the tides at all.
But,
Okay, so what I was just trying to think is the planners were like, well, no, we really do want to do the 300 houses. We're not going to budge, but what else could we do to improve?
But the thing is, they can't enforce
anything. They can't enforce
anything.
Any of those.
No.
Mm.
They could only come to agreement with the developers over infrastructure. If the developers were willing, you know, to fund something, they could come to an agreement, but they can't enforce
it.
No.
No. I think their report is deficient in the sense that nowhere is there any mention that I could find in their document about what account they've taken of the rising sea level. Effect going on to the, there's no research work. See, what they've basically done is hired a really eminent consultant firm in London, in the East End, and they've done a report on the environment and everything just based on a computer laptop without actually looking at what is a sense of what is the reality locally. And that would be the case.
There's so much being in the news lately about the coastal erosion and houses being knocked down. You would think
You just basically looking at just ignoring it and flushing it's necessary evil. We've just got to live with it.
Yeah. They're more concerned about the Hive than they are about Mersey in terms of their thing. There's huge flooding out of the Hive, which they've not actually dealt with.
Yeah. Slightly different though, because there's a lot of building around there, so it affects buildings.
It affects
here, it doesn't.
Mm. Yeah. So, what I'm really suggesting here is that I think we should. You only had the report a few days. I think this. What I'm suggesting is that this committee. And the working party. I'll give you the full documentation, and you can go through and examine it, including the detailed stuff that's come from residents, which I've spared you from so far. Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, but some of them have gone into great detail, which is pretty good. And then what we should try and do is to reduce that to what issues we want to discuss with the City Council. And then I think we should write a letter to the City Council saying, thank you for the report, we want to engage in constructive discussions with you about what you've found before you reach the next stage. Yeah.
Mm.
How does that fit as a kind of...
Yes, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And what's your time frame for us all reading this document?
Well, I'll mention it to Council on Thursday. I think we should have a period of 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we should take we should see what happens on tomorrow.
Yeah.
With the local plan, we should get the City Council. The City Council has been pretty has not really worked with us so far.
There hasn't been any communication really between us.
No.
But that's
not.
Both sides, I think, not.
Well, we've provided them with a copy of our.
Yeah, I know, but not asking them.
Anyway.
Can I just clarify that you're going to provide the full documentation?
Yeah.
And then the pertinent issues that West Mersey Council wants to discuss, you'll raise
with
Colchester City Council.
Yeah.
And then you want to write to Colchester City Council detailing this.
Yeah. And we're invited to a meeting.
Is it too massive a document to have a paper copy of it?
Probably.
Oh, it is. Okay. It is. Yeah.
I can imagine it's huge.
Yeah, I mean, this. I would say.
Well, this is what I was thinking.
No.
I'm going on holiday again. Could I take a paper copy of my notes?
Only if you've got excess luggage.
War and peace.
You were there,
tapping
in your extra luggage.
I'm going away next week. There's around about 1,400 pages.
Oh my goodness. And you want us to read that?
No. That's why I've summarised it. No. You've got it down to about 200. But it's all on their website, on the local plan.
So
sorry.
Carry on.
I've got another question on one of the points. It says, yeah, many argue that Mersey is already at or beyond a sustainable scale of growth, with some citing an upper capacity of around 130 homes based on earlier evidence.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from.
That's what I was wondering. No, you know,
I think that's some
that
to do with the 200 that they built, but only, we only had space for, you know, capacity for 130. I think that's probably come from the water side of it, or the wastewater side of it.
I was hoping Teresa was coming today because I wanted to find out where we stand on the Ainley Water. We had a meeting, didn't we, Nigel? And,
well, I didn't, but some of
us. I've talked about that at the council.
That's reminded me, this is kind of probably inconsequential, but there's a Channel 4 documentary drama series coming up called Dirty Business.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about the water scandals,
yeah,
you know, and the water companies, yeah, etc. It might be. I just think that would be an interesting watch to see,
yeah,
what's come out of their sort of investigation, what they found.
No, the thing is, the water companies are obliged to provide capacity for the houses that are built. So, in planning terms, there's no problem as far as the Colchester is concerned, because they've got the water company's got a statutory duty to provide the service, but they don't, or don't do it quick enough. I think that's the main problem, isn't it, John?
Yeah, there is a lot of disputes with. I think there was a big dispute in Morden where Anglia Water didn't put in the required things, and then the developer became involved. There is a statutory requirement that the water companies should provide,
mm-hmm,
a service.
Interestingly, only last week there was problems with a burst water main somewhere on Mersey.
Yeah, it's Mersey Road, it's true. There was.
And in fact, yesterday when I came back, Anglian Water were digging up the main bit into Mersey, Wellhouse.
Whatever it's called. Classed as a priority customer, so I was getting updates.
Yeah,
you know,
too,
and it was day one. They were hoping to have it completed by 2 p.m.
And it went all the way through to Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it.
We kept getting those while we were sat in Egypt.
Did your water pressure drop?
I didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice either.
No, I didn't notice.
I'm not quite sure who it affected, but
when we got back, our water was rust coloured.
Oh, was it?
Was it?
So yours had probably been.
Yeah. But they were digging up something on Mill Road. Anyway, near us,
that
four houses down.
Yeah.
But our main arguments against what they're trying to do with the 300 is our island situation. Yeah, and it may well be that there are some environmental issues relating to the land and sewage.
Mm.
But the overall is our island situation. The other thing that comes out quite well in the comments is that there is supposed to be a hierarchy of areas where development is favoured. So we're a large development here in Mersey.
Yeah.
And so we've got the facilities here in order to sustain future housing. That's the way it went, that goes. And one of the comments is quite interesting, is that one group feels that this is being applied too rigidly, that there's not enough kind of sway. In terms of town planning, us gone into this through the university and elsewhere, it's quite an interesting debate in terms of planning, is that you don't have large development a long way away from where all the big facilities are, like jobs, like schools, like health. If you have development, they should be much closer.
And transport.
That is another argument which we want to put to inspect it. So you've got to produce these houses. There are other areas where they could be more.
our situation with the doctors and healthcare.
I can argue both ways because I mean, when it, the argument will run before the inspector, the health services, but we're looking at different ways of trying to deal with the health demands. We're going to have bigger centres in Colchester, and specialist areas like cancer and everything. The GP is not so important as it was in the past.
Mm.
Yeah, we will say, but you've got an ageing population here. The demands are much, much there, and it's a long way away from where the main centre is. These are what will be argued out.
Regarding the GPs, I don't know if anyone's seen a very kind of like hidden news report about what they're doing regarding patients online, that they're hiring old GPs that live in Australia.
Yes, I saw that.
And they're, instead of paying and having all these new trained taking the jobs, they're literally going to the people that are 50 and 60, 70 years of age out in Australia, and they're getting them to do consultations over there.
I'm worried here also about the supply of doctors, because we've got the lead practitioner. She's leaving at the end of March.
Mm.
Yeah, and she's going to be really difficult to replace. Yeah.
If they replace them at all.
I think they have to. I think she will have to be replaced. So those are the kind of those are the kind of thing which we will have to take account of. The other thing I would say to you all is that I feel that on housing numbers that Colchester will be under a lot of pressure to maintain their current distribution of allocations. I say that because a lot will hang on whether Colchester gets this new road with the garden community by the university. At the moment, the government are not saying that new road goes ahead. So with that, you're talking about another 2,000 or 3,000 houses.
I did see somewhere that Heidi Alexander has pulled a lot of money from this area and ploughing it into the new Thames Crossing.
Oh, right.
And that she's cancelled one of the roads that was leading around to the back of Greenstead into the new
estate. This is the road that I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's pulled that money. That's officially, that came out officially, because I was watching her on Sky News talking about this. And she says she's officially, that road is now a dead issue because all that money is now going to go to the Thames Crossing.
But they rely on that road then to put
those... Far as she's concerned, the Thames Crossing comes first.
Yeah.
So that's just one
thing. Where did you read that?
No, she actually said that on Sky News when she was being interviewed on there one Sunday morning. I was talking about that.
What, recently?
September last year.
Oh, no, the road that I'm talking about, is, I think, is a different one.
Hmm. The main bit concerns me is not there's not a lot of talking now about, I mean, what everyone's using at the moment, their laptops, with broadband and the way that drops out, isn't it?
Okay.
The infrastructure on that.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got the NHS using the apps.
Yeah.
The internet's everywhere. I mean, where I live on the island, the internet drops out 2 or 3 times a day, for sometimes half an hour.
Yeah. So are we clear then? Well, basically, we're saying one more time to look at all the information that's coming forward.
Yeah, and see what happens at the meeting.
On Thursday night, I would say what was decided today. We include the working party in the next consultation, and then we come back and seek a meeting with the City Council. I think that's the way to play it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that agreed then?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Right,
26.
Red squirrels and tree work. This was an item which was dealt with directly by council, not involving this committee. We had a lot of representations from those concerned with red squirrels. I mean, no need for me to tell you this, that I mean, red squirrels have got a particular importance to the island. And there was a question of whether the tree work was really
interfering with the breeding session. We had a meeting in this room about a fortnight ago with Essex County Council tree people. Had a useful discussion. It's worthwhile saying that there are issues here regarding insurance and these trees. But some of the residents, particularly in Fairhope, one in particular, because of the aspect, because of the way that the trees are sited, are causing problems with one or two properties down there. But we had a really useful discussion, and it's been agreed, and Kirsty will read out the letter in a minute, been agreed that the work will be delayed this year, won't take place until the end of the year, the ready trade work, because of the issues regarding red squirrels. We've got the local group of red squirrel, who deal with red squirrel, CRISPR, involved with this, which is really, really, really good. So, Kirsty, if you could just say...
Yeah, it's just an email from Sabrina Nash, from the Assistant Horticultural Consultant, and she's saying in view, they've reviewed all the information and that all they're going to postpone all planned works in Fairhaven, Seaview and Empress Avenues until November 26. So they think this is the most cost effective and mutually agreeable way to carry out the works that are essential. And that they'll be in contact later in September to organise necessary inspections from their colleges and volunteers.
That's good.
It's good, isn't it? This is a success, I think.
Yes. Well, at least it brought both sides together.
It was a bit fractious in the
meeting. Well, I can imagine.
Because of the question of legal action hanging over the Essex County Council, but on the end we got what we wanted. Okay.
I've got an interesting question. One of my neighbours contacted me Sunday morning. They're applying one of the flats, and we've got a lot of trees in Oyster Close.
Yep.
That belong, part belong to us, but these ones belong to the City Council.
Yep.
And he had one hell of a bang, and one massive branch snapped off and landed straight on the branch down there. So I'm wondering, how would that impact if someone actually got hit by a tree?
Well, you say it's a City Council's tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to post on tree cutting or making this tree safe, so... And as it stands on other parts of the island regarding that and squirrels, because if that tree comes down, it's just going to kill someone.
Yeah.
There are some trees that do need to be looked at.
I mean, the thing is to report it to the City Council or the Housing Association.
Yeah, I did, and actually, fact, one of the ladies from Colchester Vale Homes contacted me this morning before I came in, saying she's going to get in contact to find out if anything can be done with a certain few trees in the area.
Yeah, this is the balance, isn't it?
Mm.
We rely on our trees to provide a kind of a good environment for us. But they've got to be kept in good order.
Yeah, because people come back from a company that was working for the City Council and said that other trees are safe. And then 3 weeks later, the branch is snapped off because two of them are dead.
Yeah.
It's a balance.
So under this item, red squirrels and tree work, can we note the response from Essex County Council and report it and arrange for it to report it to the local red squirrel group?
Yep.
CRISPR. And we will keep this under review later this year. Okay. Thank you very much. Arising from that, next item, 607. It's been the question really needs to be considered as a parish council or a town council, whether we need a policy or a documented procedure for tree work in the future. Kirsty, can you summarise what the procedure is?
I did look into this and I went on the ask for advice from the SLCC, if anybody out of the councils that had tree policies or procedures, and a few councils send them through, had a conversation with a couple of clerks, one of them said that if you're going to put a tree policy in place, you have to make sure that you are going to follow it.
Of course. All policies.
And one sent me through, and it was really thorough.
Detailed.
And I don't, considering at the moment we have one groundsman. It's something that's worth bearing in mind that whatever, if the council do decide to put one in place, how detailed you want it to be, and if it's not detailed, is it really going to add anything?
I think, just personally, if we do need something, but it doesn't have to be detailed on every step. It just be something like, if using external contractors, make sure that they've got insurance and are aware of whatever environmental concerns and that sort of thing. And if we do it ourselves, the same, safe, health and safety, which is there anyway. And I did read in
one of the policies that mentioned about residents and complaining about overhanging branches of the trees, and that it wasn't the council, so we were able to stipulate in there how they would go about it. It wasn't the council's responsibility if it wasn't their tree.
I was just thinking when you said how they could. If we did have a policy, it could cover the red squirrels, it could cover the recent complaint that we had from the family member, instead of, you know, if we'd made a decision on what we do in those cases, it would have saved lots of emails going back and forth, wouldn't it?
But I mean, the red squirrels, I don't think we need to say specifically red squirrels, it's just wildlife, because it might be other things. Which they should do anyway. All tree surgeons should check for any wild nesting and all different sorts of wildlife.
Because
they're obliged not to disturb anything. But if it's written down, but I don't think it needs to be completely detailed at every step.
I think we need just.
But we may already have something, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we need to know the elements of what is involved, isn't it? We need to know that there's going to be a survey. When board day takes place, and now it's kept under review.
Yeah, but not in full detail.
It's something very high level.
Yeah. We had a guy doing it a couple of weeks ago,
didn't we?
Doing the survey.
We've had a tree survey.
So I mean, we do have policies and procedures that we're doing. They're just not written down on one document.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the common sense anyway, the health and safety is there anyway.
They're not called a procedure.
But having it in one document and possibly ticking it off each time something's done, it does keep it, you know, shows that you followed it.
Yeah.
But whether that's too much work or not, I don't know.
The expert to know the answer to that is...
I think there's just as many councils who have them as
there's
as many councils
who
don't.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, there's a whole spectrum. Some councils who don't do anything, haven't got any paperwork.
I think if it's something that you decide you want to put paper approved, Nigel, I think it has to be more generic than.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Which, whether there's a need for one or it's another policy that we end up with.
Well, I think in general, we need to look at all our policies and. Cull the ones that aren't.
We've got a lot of problems.
But that's another thing. I have to set up a meeting to.
Parliament.
Well,
is it a fair summary to say that we're not in favour of a procedure?
I don't think we need to do a publicly published. Policy, but I think we might need to have a written internal document with an outline. That's just
I think it would be nice if someone come in and said, "What's your policy with trees?" And Kirsty could go, "Well, this is it," and it's what they're doing anyway. So,
Could we leave it there for the next meeting or the next opportunity? Yeah. We could come forward with the outline. What is involved?
Yeah.
Or should we leave it just to the clerk to do?
That's a lot in terms of
You wouldn't be happy with that.
Well, I can do it. It's just time scale.
He's not involved in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Probably other priorities right now.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm not really saying it's a priority. How are your hands?
if somebody could come back maybe with one
with the suggested,
yeah, the suggested or the items that you'd like in it, because if you look at some of them and they're just there's so much.
Yeah.
Look at other councils and see what they're doing and like, do what government normally do, copy and paste bits and pieces into one and then.
But we're in favour of
having something.
Yeah. Having something, but
Maxine's in a top level.
Yeah.
Top level, okay.
Procedure.
Okay.
Do this, and do this, but not in detail.
So an internal document that would outline our procedures.
Yeah.
You know,
dealing with trees.
Yeah.
Trees, yeah.
Just covering them, really. I suppose the how, what, when, where.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
I would favour that. That's a proposal, Maxine.
Yeah.
I would
have something in place.
Yeah.
What was that place that I just said?
Yeah.
Because I'm always getting asked as well what happens.
And seconded by?
John.
Me.
Oh,
who proposed it?
Maxine.
Thank you.
Pardon.
It's good, I think.
Well, it staves arguments amongst ourselves as well. Really.
I think it's an important matter, but we've got other important matters to deal with.
I know you said you'd like someone to put it together, but
I'm quite happy to put some together. Just the core, like title points, or that's all, and then I can. It might not be a priority item, but get onto it when I can.
If not, I can look at my diary and see when I could come in and pick everyone's brains and put something together.
I think probably Kirsty is
best place.
As you've had responses, copying other councils' procedures,
okay.
Pick the easy one and say off there.
Right. I think that's everything done with that item. Right.
Yeah.
2608, Bradwell. Barry had been in touch with me early on in January, Andy Blowers, who's the chair, regarding a new document that came out by the Office of Nuclear Regulation, which has consequences for us here in the sense that what was being proposed in this document was some weakening of the regulation affecting nuclear power. There was a time, I mean, we were only given 2 or 3 days' notice of the closing date. Sophie's a member of BANG, and you probably know about this. And there was no way that we would be associated with what the comments Payne put forward. We generally wholly support what BANG does, but we don't get involved in the whole question of the future of nuclear power. We're much more concerned about the siting and the impact here. That's been the historic view which has been taken by this council over many different years. I thought I would draw this to your attention because linked with the second part, with small modular reactors, the government is pressing this forward from the point of view that it is saying that that small modular reactors are a very important part of its power policy, and it's appointed Rolls Royce to bring forward what needs to occur regarding the possibility of SMRs being established, and they are looking at old nuclear sites to favour this to be placed. So Bradwell is in there as a possibility. So I wanted you to have the opportunity of saying anything you want to about this. And my proposal to you is that we should keep a watching brief on this and what is happening. I'm in contact with James Ryan, who now attends, he's the planning officer, senior planning officer, Colchester. He now attends planning meetings. And Colchester have got a policy not to support any kind of new nuclear reactor at Bradwell. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention that it's out there, and I've been as the chair monitoring what has happened. And I will obviously come to you if there's anything that needs to be done where we need to take action. Okay. Any comments?
No, I don't think so. That's fair enough, because nothing we can.
It's just that, I mean, we're small beer in this. I mean, sizeable up the road, big nuclear facilities, but the small modular reactor would have significant impact if it one was put on the other side.
Oh yeah.
And it would dominate. It'd be much bigger than the old nuclear power station. That's the reality.
It's misleading him with the word small in it. If it would actually be bigger than.
Yeah, it'd be three times the size.
Yeah. They're not exactly small. I don't know why they've got to check to put that word in.
It's probably smaller than the ones that are bigger. If they were building a new nuclear power station now, in conventional technology, that would be bigger than the small ones. But the small ones are bigger than what we had before.
Yeah, but the country as a whole is short of power.
Yes. Well, that is the problem, isn't
that
it?
That's
because we're moving to more ecological future without burning fossil fuels. Yeah. So nuclear power stations are one of the answers, along with renewables.
I think also it's important that we do put out information to residents from time to time about what is happening, because a number of people out there are watching it very clearly.
Yes.
And they are amazed by how much detail people go into.
Yes, but of course it's not in the minds of most people now, because there's no functioning power station there. Most people, well, us probably, Rye won't be here if anything's ever built.
No.
Because it's going to be years and years in the future, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So it's not actually on the forefront of people's minds.
I think that's a general proposition, Nigel, that's absolutely right. But the issue with nuclear power is not only the generation, it's the construction.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah,
which will affect that area more than us, of course, the other side of the water.
I think they would really kind of use maybe a ferry service, and a lot of people from the power station or the construction would come onto the island. That's been
possible.
That's been there in the West Country. That's really what's happened, and that's changed the whole area, because they work 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
and big construction sites are involved with this.
Yeah, I'd say it would affect the whole of the. Yeah. What's it called? Denuque Peninsula.
Yeah, Ben.
More than us, because they were planning on building new roads through there to service the construction, weren't they?
Yeah, but I think the government are moving to place these SMRs if they ever take place. It's untried technology.
That's right.
But on old nuclear power station, there's one in Wales in Anglesey which is being favoured for it. We'll do it, but I think it's useful. Thank you for allowing me to exhibit what was going through my head on this, and what are the community, what should be the community interest. Okay.
John, so, can I just, I don't know if other people saw it, but recently the NFLA, the Nuclear Regulatory Authority, sent a communication out.
Yeah.
And this was in one of our weekly updates,
that's right.
That's been received.
Yeah,
that the NFLA is
gone.
Been disbanded. It's gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone up to Scotland. There's another branch which is going to continue some of the work in Scotland, because they feel very quite strongly about nuclear power or against it.
in Scotland, local. It's a, what's happened to the NFA. In fact, the guy who headed it came and addressed this council in a local meeting about 2 years ago, which was really, really good. And it's a creature, it's a fact of local government cuts.
Yeah, and reorganisation as well. So
yeah, he was particularly favoured by the Manchester local government. Which is, but it, anyway, thanks for raising that. So, right, we've concluded that item. So can we move on to the next item, which will be 2609, which Essex University work on local sea defences. Now, this is really encouraging for us, I think, because we've got a major work which is being undertaken on two fronts by Essex University. Right? One is on looking at alternatives to permanent sea defences, made out of concrete and everything, natural solutions, right? In terms of barriers. So one of the things that they're looking at is whether there is any future in mussels and other kind of sea creatures acting as a barrier, a natural barrier, to where there is incursion of the sea in our area. So they're looking at worldwide solutions to this. The meeting that took place that both I and Sophie attended, there was a guy from Egypt, where they put in place a natural barrier. There's certainly one in the USA, outside New York, and they're looking at ways that can be done around here. The importance of that is that it's much more naturally inclined, and the impact it has on the local sea environment. The other aspect of this is that there is a EU-backed project which is completely separate, which is looking at the area of the blackwater, the roach and the crouch from the point of view of the protection of the environment. And that area is one of only six worldwide that the EU are funding from the point of view of trying to ensure that the natural environment is protected in every way it can. And what I would invite you to do when you've got a moment is look at the Pacific website. It's called Rewrite, R-E-W-R-I-T-E. And you'll see there the whole project, which is mapped out. And I had an interview at length last Friday with two of the senior researchers, and I invited them to go to the museum because they're interested in human geography, the importance of the area, from the point of view of why we feel so strongly about this. Yeah, and these are geographers. And both of them were French, but they were clearly impressed by the way that we put this as a number one priority in terms of wanting to react in this way. Yep. And what it does demonstrate very clearly is that we've got some really important what they call actors or groups who feel the same way as we do, and we can also learn from them. So this would be a developing kind of way going forward. They're going to have a major conference, a get together later on in the year, and we will figure on that.
So this is kind of a study to see how, for example, where in Cudmore Grove all the grass and cliffside is just
being
eaten away by the sea.
How to
minimise the impact of
The impact of that, and how the seawall has been taken away, or not kept up. to scratch various parts.
To think you could change that with muscles is amazing.
Well, no, of course.
It was really interesting that the whole kind of seminar. It was 3 hours worth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talks and presentations, and these particular areas, John said, the three areas around the world that are using natural resources. It was fascinating. Things that I didn't know and I learned was really phenomenal. And I didn't understand the whole thing about the sea's, obviously I know about the sea's power, but building walls, they're discovering that actually putting just a dam is not doing it, because the sea, it's kind of physics, isn't it, I guess, John?
Yeah.
Kind of, the waves coming in, lashing against something concrete and upright, is kind of exacerbating, you know, the strength, because it goes out and kind of, it's more powerful coming back in. They showed videos of it, which made it a lot clearer.
Yeah.
And the studies and experiments, almost, the research that they've been doing, has shown that where they've perhaps created more natural defences, where it allows the sea to come in, but the way it's done means that the sea comes, but it dissipates the power because of the formation of a more natural kind of defence.
That's amazing.
And a lot of these natural defences are kind of grasses and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, and one thing I was going to mention, John, that I thought about, which I didn't know you had a further meeting after that, but I was going to suggest that they're in contact with the museum myself as well.
Good.
And I'd like to be included in anything around that.
Sure.
Because one of the things they mentioned was eelgrass.
Yeah.
I think was being used somewhere. Now, we used to have something called eelgrass up the Cumbrae Grove area, and that has gone from Mersey. It's no longer here on Mersey. And my thoughts were, because they were interested in projects or places, potential for more experimental research, and I thought, could we suggest that we look at what happened with the eelgrass?
Yeah.
Is it possible to reinstate eelgrass and see if that helps matters? You know, can we reinstate eelgrass?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but before that, it all depends what the policy is, because as far as I understand, there's a policy of managed decline in East, along the seawall in East Mersey, i.e. they're deliberately letting it deteriorate, because before the seawall, naturally, seawater used to come in, and the seawall's just reclaimed what was marshland before. So it's a matter of policy first, and then after that, it's how to manage it, isn't it?
Yeah. What I'll do is there's two aspects of it. One is the use of mussels,
right,
in the seawall, and the other is this rewrite, which I've got their website right in front of me, which looks at the question of grasses, looks at the question of concrete measures to protect the local environment here.
But who would implement these measures?
Environment agency, isn't it?
Well, it would be... I'm very keen to get the environment agency, which is involved. They're quite slow on these things. They've had a lot of budget cuts. So I'm keen to get them involved. I'm keen to get Colchester City Council or whoever replaces them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you after the meeting what's the latest on that.
to do that. But I think we're in a position here of being really at the centre of really quite something really quite exciting if we handle this properly. So can I circulate all the information I've got? There'll be more information coming forward. Yeah. But we should highlight this as an area
which this council ought to ought to develop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in principle, yes, but East Mersey isn't. We're not East Mersey.
You're not East Mersey. I think no, but we could reconnect. I mean, I think we can get East Mersey involved. Of course, the East Mersey Parish Council could, they would be very much involved with this.
Sure, they already are.
Yes, I'm sure they already are.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know because, as I say, the Environment Agency have got a policy of managed decline.
Yes, they have. They have.
And they put their resources to sea defences in places where it would have an economic impact, like flooded buildings and that sort of thing. So they prioritise their. And they may have done an environmental study on it and decided that it's more beneficial environmentally to allow the meadows to be flooded as they would have been naturally.
There are, but we are very interested, over and above the practical thing of protect, we are interested in making certain that all these wild plants and all everything that goes with it is put in good order. Yeah, and he's assisted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. So shall I do that? And I'll give you all the information. Some of it, as I say, is I've not got all the slides from the meeting we had last week.
No.
We haven't got that. But it's not new, but we can put that forward. But it's quite interesting, the international work, and how Mersey seems to be at the centre of so much. Yep.
I was looking at what's on the Mersey Museum website about eelgrass.
Yeah.
And there's various bits. Shall I send you links to things that I found that about eelgrass that you could forward to
Essex
University? Because they might be the sort of things that you'd like to.
Yeah. They're all going through huge cuts at the Essex. I mean, they're doing away with the whole South End campus at the moment, which is, I think, 250 jobs. And they've got jobs in various departments, including the one that we hosted this. So,
but there are a lot of things with the environment. They can access grants.
They can.
To further
they
research
can.
And that sort of thing.
I told them to give a lot of information to look east on this and to get going on the publicity side. I think they've been a bit slow in not banging their chest on the work that they're doing, but I'm determined that this gets quite a high profile. Okay, we'll do this. I will mention it on Thursday night at the town council as well, that we've had this good discussion today, which has been really helpful, and this is the way that we're hoping things can take forward. Okay. Thank you very much. That's the end of the agenda. Thank you very, very much for your attention.
Thank you.
Maxine, you wanted to discuss.